This is Dr. Inigo dictating a disability physical for a claimant by the name of Melissa Meite Caballero. Date of birth is April 23rd, 1991. Case ID number is 4986712. Date of exam, March 21st, 2023. Duration of examination, 45 minutes. Medical records available prior to examination. Yes, medical records from Dr. Javier Cortinas, dated 6/2/2021, and Dr. Viswam Mitra, dated 7/9/2021, and 7/9/21, from Dr. Michael Leonard. Identifying information. This is a 31-year-old single female with no children who presented to my office for a disability evaluation to evaluate allegations of intracranial hemorrhage secondary to a brain aneurysm with left hemiparesis, decreased reflexes, and decreased coordination. The claimant is presently unemployed, and her last employment date was in January 2021, where she worked as a teacher for 7 years. During that time, she worked 8 hours per day, 5 days out of the week, and 4 weeks out of the month. At the present time, she lives in a house by herself and is not receiving disability benefits. Allegations number one. Intracranial hemorrhage secondary to brain aneurysm with left hemiparesis and decreased reflexes with decreased coordination. History of allegations. Intracranial hemorrhage secondary to brain aneurysm with left hemiparesis and decreased reflexes with decreased coordination. The claimant states that in June of 2021, she started to develop a severe occipital headache and eventually had a syncopal episode. She was transferred to Doctors Hospital at the Renaissance, where she was diagnosed with intracranial hemorrhage secondary to a brain aneurysm. She was hospitalized at that hospital for 2 months. She presented with left hemiparesis, decreased balance with decreased ability to ambulate, and problems with nystagmus and double vision. She states that her speech was okay, but she was unable to swallow and had dysphagia. The claimant also states that her mental status was confused with decreased cognitive function and memory, along with decreased ability to focus. As noted earlier, she did have a syncopal episode. Her residual symptoms include left hemiparesis, decreased balance, double vision with nystagmus, dysphagia, but no dysarthria. Her mental status is good at this time, and she denies any seizures or continued syncopal episodes. Her limitations include being able to walk one block slowly, stand for 10 minutes, climb 4 steps, and she does have to use a cane at all times. The claimant also has a wheelchair and a walker at home. The claimant is right-handed dominant and is able to use a coffee cup, and lift approximately 1 pound with the right hand. She is unable to write at this time, open up a jar top, use a skillet, or button her clothes at this time. The claimant was in a nursing home for 3 weeks and then received occupational therapy for another 2 weeks after being at DHR for 2 months. The claimant did have a suboccipital craniectomy with evacuation of large left cerebellar hematoma and right frontal burr hole with placement of Codman and antibiotic impregnated ventricular catheter for external cerebral spinal fluid drainage. She was diagnosed with status post right frontal craniotomy and evacuation of the hematoma, decreased cognitive and motor function deficits, decline in functional mobility, ambulation, and self-care skills, neurogenic bladder, dysphagia, diplopia, and she was also diagnosed with a left cerebellar intraperitoneal hematoma with mass effect, midline shift, and obstructive hydrocephalus. The claimant had a subdural hematoma and a subacronoid hemorrhage. At this time, she appears to be doing very well. She was intubated twice and had a G-tube placement placed. She also developed pneumonia from two different infections, Haemophilus influenza and Staph aureus, and was placed on a ventilator for a period of time. Her physician was Dr. Inrad Atassi. Her condition appears to be stable at this time, and she appears to be doing better. Family history. The father is 62 and has hypertension. Her mother is 59 and has osteoarthritis. She is presently on no medications at this time. Medical problems: intracranial brain hemorrhage secondary to an aneurysm and subacronoid hemorrhage, left hemiparesis, morbid obesity, history of pneumonia, dysphagia, diplopia, morbid obesity, neurogenic bladder, decreased cognitive and motor function deficits, functional mobility, ambulation, and self-care skills with decline. Major surgery, suboccipital craniectomy with evacuation of large left cerebellar hematoma. Social history, tobacco. The claimant denies any history of smoking. Alcohol, the claimant states she did drink socially but no longer drinks at this time. She denies any delirium tremors or seizure disorder. Substance abuse, the claimant denies any use of marijuana, cocaine, crack, heroin, or any IV drug abuse. Communicable diseases, the claimant denies any history of hepatitis, HIV, or any sexually transmitted diseases. Physical examination, temperature is 98.9 Fahrenheit, weight 208 pounds, height 5 feet and 1/4 inch, BP 126 over 95 mmHg, heart rate 85 beats per minute, respiration 14 respirations per minute, oxygen saturation 97%, BMI 40, general. This is a 31-year-old female who appears to be her stated age and is in no acute distress. She also appears to be a reliable historian who presented to my office for a disability examination. HEENT, the claimant has a normal cephalic but a traumatic head secondary to a craniotomy that was performed on her head. there is a 34 centimeter midline surgical scar where surgery was performed to evacuate a hematoma and to stop a bleed. No scleroicterus was noted or conjunctival petechiae. The fundoscopic examination of undilated pupils appears to be grossly normal. The claimant does have nystagmus and had difficulty focusing on certain objects. No oral pharyngeal erythema, exudate, or other lesions were noted. External auditory canals were normal in appearance, and no lesions in the nares were noted. Pupils were equally round and reacted to light, but extraocular movements were not intact, and the claimant does have nystagmus. Visual acuity was grossly abnormal. Confrontational visual fields appeared to be grossly normal. Snellen vision, OD uncorrected. The claimant is able to count fingers at 14 feet. Corrected is 20/20. OS uncorrected. The claimant is able to count fingers at 19 feet. Corrected is 20/20. Binocular uncorrected. Corrected is 20/20. Could you please drop down to abdomen after the last sentence? The claimant was morbidly obese and physical exam was somewhat difficult. Could you drop neurological? The claimant was alert and oriented times three and had good eye contact with me. Her speech was fluent and her mood was appropriate for the time. She did appear to have clear thought processes, but her memory was fair. She does not remember any events around the time that she was in a coma. Concentration was good, and she was oriented to time, place, person, and situation. Reflexes of patellar and ankle were 3+ bilaterally, as well as increased reflexes for the brachioradialis reflex and biceps reflexes bilaterally. Cranial nerves 2 through 12 were grossly intact. The claimant has decreased in extraocular movements and nystagmus. Cerebellar, the claimant's gait was slow, unsteady, but symmetric. The claimant did come with an assistive device, which was a cane. Her hand-eye coordination was good, and finger-to-nose was normal. Heel-to-shin exam was mildly abnormal, and the Romber sign was positive. Musculoskeletal. Could you please drop down to the third paragraph? The claimant had moderate difficulty in squatting and getting up on her own. No difficulty was noted upon the claimant's ability to rise from a sitting position, and the claimant was able to get up and down from the exam table without difficulty. The claimant had no difficulty in walking on her heels and toes, as well as being able to walk at a fairly normal tandem rate. She does need a cane, however, for balance. She could stand on one foot bilaterally, but was unable to hop on each foot bilaterally. Assisted device, she does require a cane for balance, secondary to having difficulty with balance and coordination. Neurological. Could you drop down to functional capacity? Based on the current examination, the claimant's ability to sit, stand, and move about is mild to moderate restricted. She is able to lift, carry, and handle objects, which are small, with the right hand. She hears and speaks well. There is no evidence of joint deformity, bone, or tissue destruction. She is able to heel, toe, and tandem walk, but does need a cane for support. There is no more grip strength bilaterally. Her ability to reach, handle, finger, and feel is mild to moderately restricted. On examination, the claimant shows no evidence of muscle wasting, but does show some fatigue. The claimant has no limitations in her visual fields, but does have some limitations in her visual acuity, which has been corrected with glasses. The claimant also has double vision and nystagmus. She's able to communicate very well without limitations, but does have some restricted limitations in her workplace environment. Secondary to nystagmus, comma, dizziness, comma, imbalance, comma, and mild cognitive dysfunction. Probable diagnoses. Number one, intracranial hemorrhage secondary to a brain aneurysm with left hemiparesis and mild decreased coordination, confirmed with physical examination. The claimant has had physical therapy and has improved. However, she is unable to function at this time, secondary to the dizziness, comma, nystagmus, comma, decrease in coordination, comma, and weakness. This is the end of the dictation for a claimant by the name of Melissa Meite Caballero.